Well, it sounds like you came out to be blessed.
Yes.
How many saw the open door?
Yes.
Now, when I saw the open door, Jesus was standing, and there was clouds as I walked through the door. What did y'all see with the open door? What was there? All right, that's yeah. Awesome, wasn't it? But whenever God spoke to us, He said that He was here to break every chain and every fetter. You could receive your healing. So I hope you all did. I just said, I received a brand new heart. Amen? So, you know, aren't you glad God showed up? You know, if you aren't here when we start, you don't know what you're going to miss, do you? God just shows up at the weirdest times, doesn't he? Hallelujah. I would like for you to keep our brother, Reverend Christopher Gore, up in prayer. Him and his family, his grandfather passed away this morning at 6:17. So keep them up in prayer. And keep Sister Mary up in prayer, too. The devil's really keeping her bound. I know I don't want to say that. She's having a bad time right now. We all know the devil is a liar, right? And I've been talking to some of the people here in the staff, and since we've had this revival, it's been one fight after another every day. You know, the enemy's he's upset. So, you know what that means, don't you? We're doing something right. I'll tell you so you know what that means. We're doing something right. What did you say? Yes. That's Ethan. Did everybody know that's Ethan without a beard? I didn't know it was Ethan last night. Somebody said Ethan, and I thought, that's Ethan? I thought a new guy had come in. You look good. Everybody looks good in the kingdom, don't they? It's when we're not in the kingdom that we don't look too good. Well, God is on the throne, and He really wants to do something great here tonight. He already did, didn't He? I don't think He could surpass that. That was wonderful. That was powerful. I wanted to stay there. I don't know about you. I didn't want to sing them jumpy songs. I wanted to stay there. I'm just waiting for the Holy Spirit. He won't let me say the opening prayer yet, so I'm going to just see what he wants to do here tonight. Sister Nancy said she was wanting to get all the tapes and see what God did to us and gave to us each night. So what we'll do is we'll really go through there and we'll give a little list so everybody knows exactly what He did. And because I think it's very important that we realize what He did each night so that we can hang on to that and don't let the enemy steal it. Amen. How many feel like that you've gone deeper into the spirit realm during this time? You just feel like something's opened up to you. You know, it's just there's something different. There's just something different in you, and it's really opened up. And I'm believing it before this is all over with, it's even going to open up wider for us. Amen. Well, Father, I truly do thank You, and I praise You for all the people come out tonight. I thank You, God, that You met us already. But I also know, Father God, You want to do more tonight. So You said Your angelic host was here. And so we're trusting that they're going, walking around and doing the works that needs to be done in each person's life. And Father, You said that we could be healed if we could receive it. And we received it tonight, Father God. And we just thank You. And we just praise You. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Tonight we're going to teach on divine favor. Holy Spirit of God, you just do what you want to do right now. This is your show and not mine. You move upon the people. completes the work she started when we first began tonight, Father. He's just saying he wants you to, God's saying he wants you to go deeper right now. Just go deeper. Just sink deeper into his bosom right now. He's saying, don't let anything sway you right now. Just go deeper into his bosom. He's saying, as you go deeper into his bosom, hang on tight to his everlasting attributes. Because when you come back, they're going to be on you. And God's saying, tonight is just a beginning of you going deeper into the spirit realm. He said, some of you in here tonight that really desire it, so whoever desires it, you're going to start having visitations into the heavenly realm. Because God's saying, show me, he's opened up the heavens here tonight. And I can see him, and he's up there walking on the clouds, and there's a bright light. And he's just walking there, and he's saying, come on, come on. Each day, come on higher, come on higher. This is just the beginning, he's telling me, of the supernatural realm that we've been crying out for over a year now. He's going to take us into that supernatural. He started tonight. He's going to continue to take us deeper and deeper and deeper into that supernatural realm. Thank you. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you for it. See, what you need to understand tonight is that the reason why your lives are being changed so totally and completely is so God can use you in his kingdom. He doesn't want you to regress back to the natural realm. He wants you to stay seated in the heavenly places that he's taking you to tonight. God's saying, you older people, that's me for one, he wants you to believe tonight that he's already starting to restore your youth. You're going to find yourself having more vim and vigor. You're going to find yourself being able to do things you didn't used to be able to do. You guys can come on in. You aren't interrupting anything. Just come on in. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Okay, so tonight, if you're in the spirit, just stay there. Tonight we're going to talk about divine favor. It's another tool we're going to need from God in this supernatural journey that he's taken us into. The divine favor, God will come upon everyone that lives in righteousness and will bring diverse blessings upon them. A man that refuses to please God will be separated from his favor. Psalm 5:12 says, "For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor, and you will surround him as with a shield." It is seen here that God is willing to bless the righteous and also protect him with the weapon of divine favor. When the favor of God is upon a man, he will be secured and protected against all oppositions and anti-favor moves of men. I really want you to listen to what everything that favor is going to do for you. We can see this kind of divine favor operating in the life of Daniel. He and all the Israelites were prisoners in Babylon. For reasons that can't be explained naturally, though he had favor with the leaders of the land. He had favor with the leaders of the land, but yet he was being held captive. Daniel 1:9 says, "Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs." And in other accounts, we learn that Daniel had so much favor with the leaders of the land, he was elevated to prestigious positions in the Babylonian kingdom. Even though the circumstances were stacked against him, Daniel eventually became the prime minister of Babylon. The description of divine... So this is what happened with Daniel. When you find favor in the eyes... How many of you that God has said to you, "You have found favor in my eyes, therefore I'm going to pour my favor out on you." All right? So Daniel was one of those that found favor in the eyes of God, and then God poured his favor out on him. In other accounts, we learn that Daniel had so much favor with the leaders of the land. Oh, I read that, didn't I? All right. Number one, the description of divine favor. When a man is selected for something good among many qualified counterparts. Divine favor is when a man is selected for something good among many qualified counterparts. In other words, you might be qualified to do absolutely nothing, and everybody else around about you is, but you're picked. The man is not qualified. For instance, Esther was selected among several other beautiful ladies that are qualified to be the queen. Esther 2:15. Now, when the turn came for Esther, the daughter of Abel, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her as his daughter, to go into the king, she requested nothing but what Haggai, the king's eunuch, the custodian of the women, advised. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all who saw her. So Esther was taken to King Ahasuerus into his royal palace in the 10th month, which is the month of Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. The king loved Esther more than all the other women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight, more than all the virgins. So he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashista. Now, God placed her in that palace for a purpose. And God made sure that she found favor in everybody's eyes. See, when you have favor, when you have God's favor on you, God will place you someplace and he will make sure that others favor you also. So we really need this divine favor as we go forth so that we can accomplish the work that God is calling us forth to accomplish. All right. Doesn't matter where you go. And I've told you my testimony, how favor was with me all the time. So it doesn't matter what you're doing. The favor will be there for you to accomplish the work that God wants you to accomplish. So you don't have to wonder, am I going to get the job, or is my book going to be published? You know, if you have the divine favor of God on you, then your books will be published. If you're trying to get a job, you'll get the job. If you're trying to get a certain house, you'll get the certain house, because favor will just follow you wherever you go. Now, remember that, all right? When a man is chosen for the position he is not naturally qualified for, especially among others that are far better than him, is another definition of that, of divine favor. David was the most unqualified person naturally in his family. But God rejected others to look for him. You'll find that 1 Samuel 11. When a man seeks the face, well, okay, let's go back to David. You know that when the prophet came, you know, the father brought all of the boys up there, and he said, they weren't the ones. And he said, don't you have another? And he said, no. And then finally he said, well, yeah, I have one out tending the sheep. He said, well, bring him. And that was him. But the father and the brothers, no way it could be David. After all, he's just a young whippersnapper sheep herder, you know. But that's who had the favor of God on him. See, we never know. We never know. I'm hearing God say, I will qualify you as you qualify yourself with me. Amen? Come on. See, when a man seeks, the face of God in prayer and have all his requests granted, that's when you have divine favor. When a man says, I thought, well, God, I must not have divine favor. You know, but don't feel like that. A very good example is the account of Jairus in 1 Chronicles 4, 9 through 10. You can read it near you go home. That's 1 Chronicles 4, 9 through 10. When help is made available unto a man at a time and from a place he least expected. Now, this is a definition of what divine favor is. When help is made available unto a man, at a time and from a place he least expected. Like the case of the man waiting at the pool of Bethesda in John 17, 1 through 15. You know, he wasn't expecting Jesus to come by and heal him. But Jesus did. And he was the only one that Jesus touched, right? All right, another definition is when a man is called by God to the great work when he was not thinking about God. God called me into the ministry, and I was thinking about God, and I was going to church, but I was no way thinking about going, you know, starting a church. We saw the case of Paul. God called him, and he was due for destruction in Acts 9, 1 through 6. F, when a man is guided to take a little effort, that leads to great achievement. When a man is guided to take a little effort, that leads to great achievement. Peter toiled throughout the night with great failure. But at the word of the Lord, he had great success. Remember, Jesus said, throw your net on the other side. When a man is always receiving kindness from others as a result of God's hand on his life. At every turbulent time in the life of Joseph, he was always finding help from somebody. As you read the story about Joseph, somebody was always helping this boy. And he was in diverse places, was he not? He should have been really with whenever the king's wife said it. Pharaoh's wife said it. He was full with him. I think he should have been killed at that point, right? But he wasn't. Now, basically, amongst several other things, divine favor will do certain things for you. Number one, the favor of God found Moses at the backside of the desert, right? Number two, it found David where he was looking after the sheep. Number three, it found Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus. God, if you have the favor of God in you, God will find you. I don't care where you're trying to hide. All right? Another thing that favor does, like we have been told, is that it singles you out of a crowd. It singles you out of a crowd. It doesn't matter how many people are there. The favor of God will just zero in on you and say, you are the one I want. You yourself will not understand how. Like that one night I went to a church, you know, and I was sitting there, and the man, the prophet said, there's three women in here that God wants to anoint as evangelists. And I didn't know that was me. But see, out of all the people in the church, he picked me and two other ladies. I didn't even go up. The other two ladies did. He stood there and finally said, would you please come up? But see, God picked me out of the crowd because the favor of God was on my life. All right, do you ever stop to think when we're in the church and God will touch one person and nobody else will know anything's even going on? That's because you had the favor of God on you and God did something for you that night. I was thinking today about people come in here and they go to sit down. You know, we'll be singing. They go to sit down. All of a sudden, they start dancing. See, the favor of God was on him, and God touched him to dance when nobody else was dancing. You have to understand that, God's watching you all the time, and he can touch you anytime, and he can call you out of the crowd at any given time. So I want you to always be expecting the favor of God to single you out. Amen. And when you go out there in the world to minister, the favor of God will draw people to you. And they don't know why they're being drawn to you, but it's because of the favor of God that they're being drawn to you. And then if you seek God's face about what to do, he'll be speaking to you to tell you what to do with the people. This is what the favor of God will do for you. The favor of God will single you out for a miracle. Because if you read Mark 10:46-52, the Bible says Jesus came to Jericho, and as he was coming out of Jericho, a great multitude followed him. A multitude followed Jesus. But how many of the people in the multitude got a miracle? Only blind Bartimaeus, who was by the side of the highway begging. He wasn't even with the original crowd, from what you read. He was sitting along the highway begging. But God gave him his sight. Isn't that awesome? When David found favor with God, the boy who was despised by his relatives, the one who they would never have presented for election for to be king, he became a celebrated person. And we still talk about David today. We always use him as an example, don't we? And here he was as a little shepherd boy out in the pasture. But he was praising God all the time, always singing songs. And he just found favor in the eyes of God. Number two, the direction of divine favor. Medical direction. If you are sick and you are considered incurable and you find favor with God, you will suddenly discover that the incurable will begin to have a testimony. Number two, in John 5:2-9, there was a multitude by the pool of Bethesda. Jesus came there, saw a man who had been there 38 years. His face shone on that man. He went to that man, healed that man, and left the place. There were several others there, but divine favor singled out that man for a miracle. And you wonder, when you walk into the house of God, you wonder when you walk in the house of God and you're sick and somebody else is sick, they get touched and you don't. I often wondered, you know, when God was doing all the healing miracles in the church, and, you know, I knew people needed healing, and then people I didn't know need healing, he would heal them and not heal the one that I knew needed healing. And I couldn't figure out why God did that. But divine favor was upon him is when I found out, as I studied through the years. For some reason or other, the favor of God was upon them. And who are we to question God? Think about that. Who are we to question God? Number three, when you read the story in 2 Kings 5:1-14, it tells us the story of Naaman, how he was healed. Jesus said something in Luke 24:27. He said, there were many lepers in Samaria in the time of Elijah. Only one was cleansed. Why didn't God just cleanse them all? You know, set them all free of that disease. How many? One. Out of the many, one found favor. I don't know about you, but I asked God for favor in a lot of areas of my life today as I studied this. Said, God, you said I found favor in your eyes, and I want favor in this, and I want favor in this, and I want favor in this. You know what I'm saying? And I want favor in my healing. All right? And I really said I want favor for Mary, because I found out she's really, really sick, sicker than I thought she was. So, you know, God is awesome, but he also is a God who will listen to your prayers. If you find favor in the eyes of God, he listens to your prayers. And he will do what you ask him to do. Are you listening here? Are you listening here? When I have favor with God, and when I ask him to heal somebody, he healed them. And then he brought him back to life three times when he was in the hospital. He had the cancer, and then he went home totally cured. And then God said, he's going to die. and because he won't serve me. Well, I found out he was back in the hospital. And said, God said, I'm going to take him home. And I went in there and said, no, don't do that. He'll change. He wasn't in sin. He was living with an atheist. His wife was atheist. And God said, I won't ever be able to use him to do what I want him to do because he won't leave her. All right? And so he told me, he said, okay, here's the deal. If I take him now, he'll serve me. You know, if I take him now, he's ready to go to heaven. If I don't take him now, he won't go to heaven. Then he said, the choice is yours. Whatever you choose, I'll do. So that meant I had favor. So I said to him, God, I thought about it a while. I said, God, go ahead and take him. He said, okay. You get a phone call at 5 o'clock in the morning telling you that he's on home with me. And I did. I got a phone call at 5 o'clock in the morning saying that he died. Now, that's favor. And one of the other men that I prayed back to life, I was in Pennsylvania at my mother-in-law's funeral, and he fell out of a deer thing, had a heart attack, died. And they called and told me, so I went to the mountains and really prayed hard for him because he was a wonderful man of God. And God brought him back to life. But he sent a message through his son to me, called me. He said, please tell Sister Barbara to quit praying. Because I can't go back to heaven because she's praying. And I don't want to stay here after seeing heaven. And I said, are you sure? He said, yes, he does not want to. He wants you to quit praying for him because God will not let him stay in heaven because you're praying. Now, that's favor. So I said, all right, God, if he doesn't want to stay here, I don't want him to be upset with me because I was his deaconess. I said, go ahead and take him. That's what he wants. So he died again. That's favor, guys. That's favor. Come on. Everybody in this room should have that divine favor of God on your life. They really should. I hope after tonight you will have it. All right. I've lost my place. It's number 2, material direction. When you find favor with God, suddenly whatever you touch begins to prosper and people begin to wonder how. You and Nancy must have some sort of favor. You're living here and you're still making it. Number 2, divine favor can give you just one contact and all of a sudden for the rest of your life you can enjoy everything. And number 3, Luke 5:1-7, Jesus was preaching by the seaside. He saw 2 boats. One belonged to Peter. One belonged to somebody else. And by favor of God, it was Peter's boat that was chosen. When God decided to favor you, you cannot escape prosperity whether you like it or not. If he says, I'm going to prosper you, prosperity will come. And see, I thought about this too. See, when I'm studying, I think about myself a lot. And I said, okay, God, you know, I didn't even balance out my checkbook. And I had anything I wanted, could buy anything I wanted. I was prospering. But then one day God said, now you're going to go from the blessing to the curse. And from that point on, I had nothing. I was like Job, one day everything and next day nothing. So as I was studying this, I said, God must have lifted his favor off of me for a season, you know. And I lost everything. That's what I get out of the whole thing anyhow. But now God says, my favor's back on you again, and now you're going to prosper again. So I went through a season of not prospering. I don't know if it was a test or what it was, but now he said, I'm going to start prospering again. But God also told me one time when I started this church, when he called me to do this, he said, whatever you place your hand to do, I will do it for you. So that was favor. That's why sometimes I just, you're not doing this revival, but I just, okay, let me check you out there, God. And I'll say, if you guys will, God will. And he does it every time. See, that's favor. But he told me I could do that. And he'll try it if he didn't tell you that. He said, whatever you place your hand to do, whatever I speak, he's going to do it. Amen. He'll do it for me, he'll do it for you. He really will. He's no respecter of persons. All right, number three, marital direction. If you have been considered barren and God decides to favor you, suddenly those who have been laughing against you will begin to laugh with you. 1 Samuel 1:9-20 talks about, I think it's John. Now, when you read Proverbs 18:22, the Bible says, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtains favor of God. If you have no husband, you'll get a husband. If you have no wife, you'll get a wife. If you are barren, you'll have children. If you have the favor, divine favor of God on you. Gosh, you forget about that one. All right. You just don't understand what divine favor. I know what divine favor does for you. It makes way there is no way. And it causes miracles to happen where there shouldn't be anything happening. But you have to find favor in God's eyes, too. You have to be doing what God wants you to do. He's just not going to plop on you. You have to be doing your part, too, in order to have the divine favor. All right? Mental direction. When God decides to favor you mentally, suddenly you begin to have wisdom that you never can explain. You'll have wisdom. You know, Daniel 2:20-22 tells us that wisdom belongs to God and he gives wisdom to the wise. If anybody lacks wisdom, God said you should just ask God. And that's in James 1:3. I think, I don't know where Brother Christopher's at, Gore, but I think I told him last night that I was going to tell you all, but everything God, the ministering started and everything. But I think God, what God said is when you stepped over the threshold, you stepped into divine wisdom and revelation. So when you stepped over that threshold of greatness, you got wisdom and revelation. All right, number three, you will find that when God decides to favor somebody mentally, he has a wisdom he himself cannot explain. I wish I'd known that when I was in college and doing algebra. Took my poor instructor out of his wits there. All right, number five, ministerial direction. Everyone who is born again, baptized in the Holy Spirit, is a minister of God. All you are waiting for is favor from God. You're all a minister. Now you need favor. When a minister finds favor with God, it becomes easy for him to do the work of God. That is absolutely true. And when you're not walking under the favor of God, you labor. Always remember that. He will preach a simple sermon and souls will be saved. Number three, when you find favor with God, any door you knock on will open. Any door you knock on will open. I want you guys to know that we are the Philadelphia Church. And today I said, God, I was studying, I said, and that kept running through my head. You have to read about the Philadelphia Church. You have to read about the Philadelphia Church. We was first opened, and I heard a preacher preaching about the different churches. I said, God, what church? Which one of these churches are we in? He said, the Philadelphia Church. And then years later, I said, God, what church are we now? He said, you're still the Philadelphia Church. So if you read the Philadelphia Church, it describes this church. So just be proud that you are the Philadelphia Church, all right? And in it, it says, God opened a door that no man can close. Amen. So if you haven't read about it, it's in Revelation 3:7, I think it is. Revelation 3:7, the Philadelphia Church. All right, number six, manifold direction. Manifold direction favor is all around favor. All right. When we study about the man called Joseph, he had all around favor. He was never sick till he died. Well, I don't have all around favor. All right. He had medical favor. What about materially? If you read Genesis 45:4-13, Joseph said, God has made me Lord of all Egypt. And he sent to his father and he said, come with all your family. I will feed you for the rest of your life. What about mental favor? If we read Genesis 41:39, Joseph was referred to here by Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said, there is none as wise as thou art. There is none as wise as thou art. Because Joseph found favor with God, he has a mental capacity that is frightening. What about marital? If you read Genesis 48:8-20, you will discover that in the home of Joseph, there was peace and there was harmony. He had two sons. Everything anybody could want in a home was there. He didn't even have to look for a wife. One was given to him. He had favor. What about materially? As far as Joseph was concerned, everything he touched prospered. Genesis 39:21-23. Everything Joseph touched prospered, even in prison. When they took him to prison, very soon he became the man in charge. And if you read Joseph's life, he did have favor. All right, when I went to work at the college, and I did not have any of the criteria that they wanted, none. And then I was only working there a month or 2 months, and I went up there and told the guy that's running the college, I need a raise. You know, I didn't know tiddly about what I was doing, but I don't know why I even did that. And he said, all right. He gave me a big, I can't remember, he gave me a really big raise. Made everybody else mad. How could you only work here that long? You don't even know anything. You don't aren't qualified because they sit on the board to hire me. And you go in there and you get a raise. Now that, I didn't know either, but that was the favor of God. And I didn't get a little raise, I got a really big raise. And everything I did there was always found favor, whatever I did in that place. So, you know, you can walk under the favor of God. So don't say you can't. Don't let the devil tell you you can't. Number three, the destruction of divine favor. If we go through the Bible very well, we shall see what some people did that attracted the favor of God upon their lives and what others did that separated them from the favor of God. The following factors will destroy the favor of God in a man's life. Disobedience to God. Saul enjoyed the favor of God and was selected as the first king of Israel, but through disobedience he lost the divine favor. And that's 1 Samuel 15:19. Number two, sexual sin. We saw Samson losing the favor of God due to his immoral lifestyle. All kinds of sexual sins and immoral lifestyle will make a man lose the favor of God. I want you guys to listen to this. Women too. All kinds of sexual sins and immoral lifestyle will make a man lose the favor of God. And that's in Genesis 16:18-21. Now, the third thing is pride. Satan was the anointed cherub at the throne of God. He lost the highly placed position due to pride. God will give grace, favor inclusive, to the humble, but will resist a proud person. Naaman was almost losing the favor of his selective miracle due to pride, but was able to retain it when he humbled himself. Four, stinginess and lack of giving. Those that know how to give are always abounding in the favor of God. I don't care, give of yourself, give to food to other people, whatever you are a giving person. Both the widow of Zarephath and the Shunammite woman received divine favor because they gave sacrificially. God said he would open the windows of heaven upon those that are faithful in their tithes and offerings in Malachi 3:8. The fifth thing is lack of faithfulness in the service of God. If a man is faithful in the service of God, he will enjoy divine favor. Noah was faithful and he and his family were favorably preserved. Did you ever think about that? Out of all the people on the earth, God chose Noah, a righteous man, and he found favor in the eyes of God. The wife of the late prophet enjoyed divine favor due to the faithfulness of her husband in God's service. Number six, sowing the seed of wickedness. The door of favor shall be shut against anyone sowing the seed of wickedness against others. A man will reap what he sows. I must have fallen asleep there a couple times, huh? A man will reap what he sows. Adonna Bezek had been cutting the fingers and toes of other kings without mercy until one day it happened to him. If you read Judges 1:5-7, this king, he was capturing all these other kings, and he was cutting off their fingers and toes. I think it was their thumb, wasn't it? Their thumb and their toes, their big toe. And all of a sudden, one day they captured him and did the very same thing to him. And number seven, prayerlessness. Prayer remains one of the most effective keys and unlocks the door of favor. When Esther prayed, she found favor before the king. Likewise, Nehemiah prayed and received favor. In prayer, we can lay hold of God's promises in his words, and the door of favor shall be opened unto us. How many of you sitting here tonight, you know that you know that you know that you have such favor in God's eyes that whenever you pray, he's going to answer your prayer. And you know, if he's not going to answer it, he'll tell you why he's not going to answer it. And you found favor in the eyes of God when that happens. And hang on to that, because that's something you really don't want to lose. Conclusion. In conclusion, God's favor can bring a lot of blessings upon a man. Divine favor can produce supernatural promotion and increase. Genesis 39:21. Number two, bring restoration of everything that the enemy has stolen. Exodus 3:21. We all need that, right? Bring honor in the midst of adverse adversaries. Exodus 11:3. Produce increased assets. Deuteronomy 33:23. Give great and unusual victories, even against impossible odds, in Joshua 6:20. Give recognition and promotion, even when you seem to be the least likely one to receive it. 1 Samuel 16:22. Produce prominence and preferential treatment, favor, and kindness, in Esther 5:8. Get petitions granted, even by ungodly civil authorities, in Esther 5:8. Change rules, regulations, even laws if necessary, to your advantage, Esther 8:5. Win battles you did not even have to fight, because God will fight them for you, in Psalm 44:3. And isn't that what God told us tonight? But there is a price to be paid, and that is righteousness. All right? It comes through the new birth and through continuing in total obedience to the Word of God. He's not going to give it to you if you're not righteous. You know, I was thinking about whenever we first started a church, you know, you had to put in all this paperwork for, what is it, 301 or whatever that thing is, tax exempt thing. And within a month, we had ours. Everybody said, how did you get it in a month? And I said, the lady just that I talked to, she just told me what to do, and I did it. Because people say it was taking years to get it through. And she told me what I shouldn't do and what I should do. And you know, so I wouldn't get in trouble, you know, fouled and everything. And it went right on through the first time around. Everybody says it never goes through first time. You just have to put it through two or three times. But because God, when I called, God, the right person was there, because I was finding favor. And she walked me through the thing. It all went through perfect. Now, see, somebody else started a church, that was under me, and they went and started their own church. And they said, well, how did you get your tax exempt number? So I told them. It took them a year and a half, and they were still trying to struggle through it and get it. And they said, how did you do what you did and get it, and we can't even get it? I said, I don't know. I didn't realize then that I was operating under divine favor. Now, how many of you in here tonight, you can look over, you know, think about your own life, and you realize the things that happened in your life was because of divine favor. Astrid, you're going to have to get under divine favor to get transferred. Are you listening? You know, if something's not happening in your life, then there's somewhere along the line you're not under divine favor, and you're going to have to find out what's going on and get under divine favor from God. Because God wants to bless every one of his children, not one or two of us. He wants to bless every one of his children. A lot of things I say, now I know, you see, I'm going to say this. There's some people that God calls that he just puts special blessings upon. I mean, that's just a fact. It really is. And, you know, I hear a lot of people say, oh, you just go out there and raise the dead. That's not really true. That's not really true. The Bible says you can do that. But there's things you have to do in order to be able to do that. You know, it says a believer will. And if you're a believer, then you're going to be living in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And then all these miracles will follow you. But if you just say, well, I believe in Jesus Christ, and you don't follow him at all, or just follow him, you know, every now and then, signs, wonders, and miracles are not going to follow you, and great favor is not going to be upon you. You know, see, I never just stand up here and tell you, oh, you can go do that, because God always checks me in my spirit. He says, you can't tell them that, because they have to meet the criteria. And I believe in each one of you in here tonight, you have met the criteria, because tonight that God told me I was to teach this. I think tonight, I believe with all my heart that you have met the criteria and you can receive the divine favor of God All right? And I want you right now, in your spirit man, to understand that if you get the divine favor of God, then everything you touch will prosper. Everywhere you go, people are going to prosper. And without that divine favor, you're going to have a little bit of a problem. You're going to have to work harder for it. All right, whenever I said I went from the blessing to the curse, there was a difference. I had to really struggle to get up here and preach. A lot of times I didn't. I had other people preach because I just knew that it was not an easy flow and I couldn't do it. It was because that divine favor left with when the curse came. All right? And then once God brought the favor back again and lifted the curse off of me, then it was real easy to come up here and minister the word. And whenever I first started the church, there was a lady who had been preaching for years and years, and all of a sudden she was a preacher, and all of a sudden she quit preaching. And her son was my praise and worship leader, and she came and I said, "Would you please preach for us?" She said, "I can't." "Oh, yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. Just get up here and preach. It's not that easy." Yes, it is. But I found out, no, it isn't. No, I knew what she was talking about then. No, it isn't. You just don't get up behind a pulpit without the favor of God and start preaching. You don't. You just don't. And see, when somebody told me one time, they wanted me to go somewhere, another pastor, and I said, "I can't. I've got to go home and study." "You don't have to study. Just get up and you've been preaching long. Just preach any old thing." I said, "You can't do that." "Well, why not?" I said, "Well, you just can't do that." "I can't do that. Maybe you can do that. You know, I'm telling y'all, maybe you can do that. But I can't do that because, you know, you have to be in the presence of the Lord. You have to have His favor. And it has to be His message and not mine." Like I said, I was going to give this Monday, and God wouldn't let me. But last night, He said, "Now I want you to teach on favor." He knows the exact time when you're ready to receive whatever it is He's trying to give you. How many in here know what you're called to do? You know what your calling on your life is. All right, now, like, are you an evangelist? You know that. That's been prophesied to you. Maybe I should ask how many you don't know. 1, 2, 3, 4. All right, well, we're going to do something with that a little bit later, all right? But right now, what God wants to do is He wants to drop His divine favor on you. So if you want that divine favor, you need the divine favor. I just wouldn't settle with favor. I'd want the divine favor. Brother Larry, maybe that's why you're not a Rockefeller, whatever it is God said you was going to do. You need that divine favor so that you can be blessed financially. Amen. Just come up, put your arms up, and just receive.